Welcome to The Word at Westminster, a podcast with talks, studies, interviews, sermons, and more from Westminster Church in Barrie, Canada. It's about learning and living God's Word. Welcome to this episode of The Word at Westminster. Every 4 months, we have something called the Q&A Forum. People submit questions ahead of time, and after a worship service, I provide an answer. Since I get a decent amount of questions, the answer I give to one person might be helpful to more people. My approach is this. I try to answer questions through the lens of another. What does God wisely teach us through the Bible? I'm not God, obviously, therefore I don't know everything, clearly. People are, of course, free to disagree with me, but I do my best to give us some biblical things to consider. This installment was originally recorded live on June 12th, 2022. Can you explain the difference between a secular worldview and a biblical worldview? And the follow-up comment is it's a huge subject, but with churches becoming more progressive, it's getting more difficult to know how to differentiate truth from subjectivity as we strive to demonstrate the love of Christ. So first, what is a worldview? In short, a worldview is how you view the world. Now that's obvious, perhaps, but really the idea is how you understand reality and how you fit things in your mind into big picture, capital R, reality. So Professor James Shire, who's done work on this, he says, a worldview includes a fundamental orientation of the heart. It includes our assumptions about the basic constitution of reality, and that provides the foundation on which we live and move and have our being. That seems theoretical, so let's talk about some examples, okay? So he points out that there's basically three kinds of major worldviews. Now, this is a big picture, because even within these, there's families of worldviews and groups, but these are like the big three categories as he sees them. The first is a theistic worldview. So these are people groups over the planet who believe that there is one God. So Jews, Christians, Muslims, some others, but those are three big groups fall into this category. They may disagree about the nature of God and what he asks of us, but they believe that there is one God, and he upholds the world. The second is an atheistic worldview, meaning that these people adhere to a kind of an understanding of reality that there is no God or no supernatural dimension at all. And some people living within this atheistic worldview specifically have a way of seeing the world called naturalism. The idea is that the world is here, it's working according to physical natural laws, but really that you can measure and quantify, but there's still no supernatural realm. And so there's a clear rejection of anything miraculous. People holding a naturalistic worldview might say there is meaning to life, but that is generally what society agrees it should be, so no reference to an outside objective being like God. The third worldview, according to Sire, is pantheism. So pantheism, this merges the concepts of God and the world into one kind of impersonal divine entity. In this view, there's no personal God. The divine is throughout everything. Everything's, you know, God. I'm God, you know. As a side note, this worldview kind of has been creeping into some Disney movies, interestingly enough. But anyway, so back to a Christian worldview. So let's get a bit more specific. So most Christians understand reality like this. There's a personal, good, and all-powerful God who created the world. Sin entered into that world, marring everything. Our God has been working to redeem his humanity through people, ultimately through the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus Christ. God has established a church as his body on earth. And history is working toward a final consummation when Jesus returns along with final judgment and ushers in a new heavens and a new earth, thereby restoring his creation to its original beauty. It's a wonderful thing. But how do we know this? Well, that's where our special book, The Bible, Biblical Worldview, comes in. Christians generally affirm that although there are a variety of reasons to believe in the existence of God, which are rational, the primary way where we come to learn about God is through sacred writings that we call scriptures. So that's why the phrase biblical worldview is used by some people. It specifically references what the Bible says about capital R reality, creation, sin, redemption, etc. As a point of interest, by the way, just I'll insert this in here, David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons did some research. Kids who are exposed to a Christian worldview, and I don't just mean going to church once every 6 months, immersed in a household that has a Christian worldview, before the age of 13, are more likely to pursue Christian faith as an adult, right? Because it goes to how they understand everything about how reality works. Okay, so the second part of the question asks about some churches calling themselves maybe progressive, and by that is meant, generally speaking, kind of liberal, usually on biblical interpretation or moral issues. And it's getting harder to know how to differentiate truth from subjectivity as we strive to demonstrate the love of Christ, so says the question. So the issue here, I think, is how to interpret the Bible. So people of different theological persuasions will say they're biblical, but come to like radically different conclusions about things. And I think that's where some of the confusion comes in. So I think when looking at a church or denomination to figure out what they actually mean by do they adhere to a biblical or secular worldview, you need to do a couple of things. One is, what does the church or denomination hold as confessional standards? And so a church or denomination has official documents that kind of put them within a theological tradition. This is what we affirm and how we generally interpret the Bible and see reality. So some Anglicans will use the 39 Articles. Protestant Presbyterians like myself, something called the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is kind of a certain theological lens. And then it's like, okay, if those are the official documents under Scripture, does the official leadership of that church actually adhere to those things? So it's a matter of integrity, because some do and some don't. See, now, these are the beliefs. Does the official leadership, the elders, deacons, or whoever, actually believe in those things? But secondly, what I would pay close attention to is how the Bible is used in a church or in a denomination, because to me, biblical interpretation is the biggest issue in the world right now, because all the other things based on how Scripture is used or not used. And so when the Protestant Reformation happened in the 16th century, one of the concerns with the dominant Roman Catholic Church at the time was how Scripture was being used. Sometimes a passage would be used very allegorically. It's like this big kind of allegorical interpretation. No, wait a second. What? So there's this desire so that people could read the Scriptures in their own language, and a desire to interpret it in a way that sought to uncover what was the original author's intent. What was he trying to convey? And that meaning is the primary meaning for us as well. And so the concern is when all of a sudden you see Scripture being used very loosely, to me that's the issue. And some will go so far, Beverly, as to say, oh, we believe it, we have a biblical worldview, etc., but to deny something as fundamental as the resurrection or the presence of the miraculous, those are big issues because they go against that big picture worldview: creation, sin, redemption, the resurrection of Jesus, which is, you know, at the center of, you know, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:17. So it's really a matter of interpretation. So, for example, I tend to use five principles of interpretation by Heinrich Bullinger. They're 500 years old, but they still stand the test of time. You know, using Scripture to understand Scripture. You know, the more clearer passage to understand, the more vague, and these sorts of things. And I won't go through them all here, but I just pointed out, because if a Christian church or denomination claims to have a biblical worldview, I think they need to be upfront about whether what they confess to be true. Also, if they are engaged in a good faith effort to interpret the Scriptures faithfully in a way that makes clear what the original authors intended, not broadly and loosely, so that you can basically have them say anything you want them to say, which is a problem these days. If a church or a Christian doesn't believe in miracles or the resurrection, then it's not a biblical worldview. So those are kind of some general thoughts. Let me end with this thought, comment. G.K. Chesterton says, religion is not the church a person goes into, but the world they live in. A worldview isn't the church they go into, but the world they live in. I think that's a good word about worldview.